We have three scripture readings this morning. The first is from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. After that, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. The second reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And third, from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you were raised with Christ, look for the things that are above where Christ is sitting at God's right side. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I got a few check marks off my list this year. I had a chance in February, due to the generosity of our conference, to new ordinands, and a generosity of some givers at the church that I was at the time. I got an opportunity to go to the Holy Land, and to stay for 10 days in Galilee and Jerusalem, and to experience a place that I had only just read about, as I had seen my faith suddenly tied into reality of things that I had only heard about and read about. I suddenly got to see and touch and to smell and to taste, and it was amazing, and it was one of those life experiences that I had always wanted to do and I had always tried to make plans for in the future, but when the opportunity came that it became possible to do it this past February, and I got to check one of those boxes off of my bucket list. Now I've got a couple other things that are still on my bucket list, other places that I would like to go see. In fact, the tour that I was on that experienced the Holy Land, if you stayed for an additional 10 days, then they went into Jordan, they went into Petra, and eventually you got to go down to Egypt and you got to see the Great Pyramids down in Cairo. And I'd wished that I had been able to go on that trip as well, but Julia could not be convinced for me to be gone another 10 days and another $3,000. It wasn't. So that still remains on the bucket list. That still remains on the bucket list. But as I got to check off that one box, I added another box, and that was to take my family so that they could experience some of the things that I saw, some of the things that I did in the Holy Land as well. The girls were too young, and so Julia was not able to come with me on the trip. And even as I shared the pictures, you could see that this was something that she would like to experience in her lifetime as well. And so we added a box. So we checked one off, but then we added another one to the bottom. And isn't that the way bucket lists sometimes go? That by the time you check one thing off, there's at least a couple more boxes that we add. I took this opportunity this last week to ask some of my family members what was on their bucket list, and I did this in such a way as I was spending time with my family this last week. I asked three different generations. I asked my parents, I asked my siblings, and we asked our kids. And it was interesting that my parents, they kind of chuckled and laughed and said that they'd pretty much crossed everything off their list. And they had stories of things that they had experienced, and they had a couple more things that they wanted to experience. They said that they wanted to take this Trans-Canadian Railroad all the way across the Canadian wilderness and experience this trip. And then they gave us the website and the reservation information and the cost. And they said anytime that we want to send them on this trip, that'd be great with them. Their schedule was wide open. but it was interesting hearing about the different things that they had experienced, that they had checked off of their list, and they had more accomplished. You know, they've had more time, they've had more resources, they've had plenty more opportunities to accomplish some of the things that were on their list. Whereas, sort of my siblings and I, we've had things, some things that we've done, and then other things that we would still like to do, different places that we would like to travel, different things we would still like to accomplish. And we even had a few smaller ones on there that maybe sometimes you would take for granted. My sister, for example, she wanted to plant her own garden, that she's never had a chance to plant her own garden since moving into her own home. And so that was something that she wanted to kind of check off here in the next year or two, and that I thought was fairly significant. She's a doctor. She also said she would like to be out of debt. I told her bucket lists have to be realistic. You can't just put anything on there, I guess. And we both had learned a new language. She and I had taken several years of different foreign languages in high school and college. And out of all the money and time that we've invested to foreign languages, neither one of us remember anything about it. I hardly remember any French, and I took 6 years of it. She took 5 years of Spanish, and she doesn't know anything. And I also took Latin, which nobody else knows Latin, so that was not nearly as helpful as I had imagined it would be. We both had that on our list, and as we were talking about it, we were saying, you know, this is something we would like, but we're not sure we would put in the amount of time and commitment to really achieve this on our list. And so maybe this is something we would have on our list that we would love to do, but maybe it's not something we're really willing to give the time and the commitment to as well. And that's what we began to discover about bucket lists, is it's really about that check mark, how much work and how much preparation and commitment that you put in to really achieve that check mark beside a certain box. Because there's some goals, there's some hopes and dreams that we have that we begin working towards, and we begin to put things in place. We save money, we free up time, and we really focus on achieving that one goal. And then there's others that we would like to, maybe eventually, but the amount of time or commitment or resources that would take to pull that off is probably not something that we're willing to commit to at this time. And then when we talk to our kids, so I talked to Lavender and I talked to Wren, and their bucket list pretty much extended just into like the next couple hours. They wanted to ride their bike before dinner. They wanted to play Duck Duck Goose in the living room. And we were all able to achieve that by 6 p.m., so that was pretty good that we were able to kind of, you know, mark off their entire bucket list by 6 o'clock in the evening. And when we sort of realized the differences in different things that we put on our bucket list, those things that are very easy to accomplish, that simply takes just a small amount of commitment or energy to do, and then those long-term ones that we wish that we would get to, or we hope that we get to see and experience in our lifetime as well. When we came into worship today, we were invited over this last week to fill out some hopes and some dreams and some visions that you have for this church. And we're going to get to those here towards the last part of the service. But right now, I'm interested in you personally. What are some things that you have on your bucket list? Or what are some things that you used to have on your bucket list that you checked off or you accomplished? What are some things you would like to do, or some big things that you have been able to do? There you go. Yeah, see your kids grow up happy and healthy. Has anybody ever taken a trip that they always wanted to, got to see something that they always dreamed about seeing? You got to go to Ireland? You'd like to go to Ireland, yeah. Yeah. My sister... Play in the Masters? Oh, just go to the Masters. All right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go to Augusta to see the Masters. What are some others that you have? Does anybody have a skill or maybe a talent or a hobby you'd like to get good at or to work on?
Painting?
Get grass in your yard? Yeah.
We like to see rain. It's that funny stuff falls out of the sky.
Yeah. We each have these moments. We have these hopes and these dreams that we would like to see. My brother-in-law would like to see the Great Wall of China. I would one day like to see the pyramids. I was a history major in college, and I'd like to see some of these places that I read about, that I studied. I'd love to go to Rome. I'd love to see the Pope one time, just to say that I did. I know I got to talk to Mr. Miles. If y'all know Mr. Miles, a veteran in our congregation, he's got a great story about marching into to Rome and going to the Vatican and getting to see the Pope. Those are things that I would like to experience in my lifetime. I got a chance to go see the president speak on a couple different occasions, a couple different presidents, and the type of impact that had on me as a young person was very inspiring, was very impactful, and just those moments that really achieve this dream that we've had in our lives. The scripture readings that we read this morning across prophets, gospels, and letters have this common theme of pursuing that greater thing, of setting our eyes on the higher things of God. And so when we think of these bucket lists that we have, we also think in terms of the vision that we cast for our lives, because really that's what a bucket list is. A bucket list is this vision of things that we would like to do, what we would like to accomplish, goals and moments and experiences that we would like to have in our lives. And there's a part of us that believes that these are realistic, that these are achievable, because if they weren't achievable, then this is just a fantasy, and it's not a bucket list. And the difference is that check mark, that ability to one day be able to put a check mark, to cross something off, and to say that this was something that was accomplished, that it was done. And what's common across the scriptures that we read, the prophet, the gospel, and the epistle, was this idea of commitment, the plan that has to be in place, the steps that have to be taken in order to accomplish and to check off the boxes that we have. I would love to one day run a marathon, which is very surprising because I hate running. But I would love to one day say that I did it at least once. But this isn't something that I can go out next weekend and accomplish. It takes a plan. It takes a strategy. It takes exercise. It takes commitment to be able to work up to that goal step by step. And the very first part of that goal is that commitment, that decision that this moment will be different. In the life of our church, we feel like casting a vision is something that's vitally important. And the cards that we filled out this week are the hopes and the visions that we have for our church. It's the bucket list that we have for our church. And we believe that the scriptures that we read today are scriptures that have come to life, that have come to life over the entire church universal and the church here in Alabaster. And then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And we believe that that vision is already starting to take shape, even here at Alabaster First United Methodist, that each one of us has a piece of that vision, a piece of that story of the work that God wants to do here in Alabaster. You're beginning to hear parts of that vision kind of come through. I wasn't able to be in worship last week, and so I went to the foyer before the worship service, and I read some of the cards that y'all filled out and brought in last week, and I look forward to reading the cards that y'all brought in this week. The stories of how you love worship services, you love outreach, you love how welcoming our church can be, you love how we love to extend out into the community to meet needs and to greet others. And we want to build upon those themes. Pastor Sherry and I have been praying and been working over the last several months of what that vision is for 2017. And three things that you're going to start to hear is this power of 10, this tithe that we have as a church. We plan on having a 10% greater focus and growth in worship. And what that is not that we just hope that more people begin to attend worship, but that we are dedicating more of ourselves as pastors and as a church into devoting ourselves into worship, of preparing for worship, of praying over worship, of rededicating how we extend worship out into the community through invitations, through publicity and advertising, but ways that we desire to devote ourselves 10% more into worship. Because sometimes the problems of the church tend to sacrifice worship. And they feed our way in, but worship is how we are revived, and most closely how we experience the community of God and the life of God breaking forth in this community. So 10% rededication in worship. We want to raise up leaders. We believe that that's a function of the church and so necessary in this community and our families as well. And so you might have heard about our leadership development class. One of our goals is to rise up 10 new trained small group leaders, team leaders that will go out into the community to have conversations about ways that this church can meet needs and to grow greater ministries, to where we can start having new small groups and new missions that will help grow families and leaders, both in the church and in this community, because we believe that that's a function of growing disciples as well. And then the last thing that we want to do is we want to create 10 new pathways into the community. Pastor Sherry and I have already started some conversations with school superintendents, with principals, with teachers, with community leaders, with police chiefs and fire chiefs, being able to schedule conversations to where we can sit down and find new pathways that our church can extend into the community to create relationships and spaces where people can come to know the love of God, to where we can meet needs and begin to build relationships even stronger right here in this community. Those are three ways that we feel like the vision for 2017 is going to be unfolding. Those are three boxes that we've put on our hopes and our dreams and our bucket list for this church. And it all starts with the first step, that commitment, that decision to be a part of that vision, to work towards the unfolding of what God wishes to do right here in Alabaster. That commitment to that check mark, that this is something we can accomplish because God is pouring out his spirit upon each and every one of us, and each one of us has a role and a buy-in in that vision. And here in worship today, we have an opportunity to kick it off with something that we do each and every week, but each day holds such significance as we share a meal together. We take a part of that vision that God has for us, and we share it with the peace that God has for us to take into the world, to bring that vision into action and take the first step that we can to work for that check mark and to live the life that God has ordained for each and every one of us. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your grace and your mercy in our lives. But Lord, most of all, we give you thanks for your spirit, which has poured out upon us a new vision. Lord, a new way in which you desire to pour out your spirit on this church and in this community as well. To Lord, you can develop us as disciples. You can develop groups and teams and leaders. But Lord, also that we can be sent and deployed out into this community to help grow leaders, to help others come into a deeper relationship with you and experience the very kingdom of God that you have spoken and had an idea about from the first moments of creation. And as we share in this sacrament and this meal today, allow this vision to become flesh and blood within us. Allow us to become part of that vision as we move towards accomplishing the goals that you have for us. As we pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen.